Rolling like a freight train on a mission. Here's Gruber.
All right, welcome back to it. I'm going to quickly jump over to the hotline, take a call from Dave, checking in from Williamson to see what's on his mind. Dave, what's on your mind?
Morning, Steve. I've heard you talk about raising the age to purchase rifles to age 21, and I struggle with that because aren't we just going to coddle these kids even further? You know, what are we going to do when 21 they act like they're 16, now we're going to make it 25? I think a better answer to this problem would be to, we have driver's ed, we have sex ed classes in school. Why not a gun education class? Teach these kids about the gun, we operate them, and gun safety.
I don't disagree with that, Dave. Thank you for checking in. I think that guns are ubiquitous in America, and that and educating people, whether you ever want to own one or not, educating people about them would be important. And if parents want to opt their children out of gun education, that too would be perfectly fine. 33 after on this Tuesday, and I see that those trying to get a minimum wage initiative on the ballot for November have turned in 373,000 petitions, signatures on the petition. Kyle Malin here, editor and vice president of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
All right, so 373,000, it's a $12 an hour minimum wage deal. Why didn't they just go for the 15, the whole enchilada like everybody else?
I kind of wondered the same thing. They must have had some polling. I don't have any insight on this that particular question, but I imagine they did some polling and they realized 15 was a bridge too far and it wasn't going to fly. I mean, maybe it flies in Seattle and New York City, but not in Michigan. So I think they went with what they could get.
Yeah. All right, so they got 12. This means pretty likely it'll be on the ballot. Is this the second ballot initiative to clear that hurdle?
No. We've got the repeal of prevailing wage, which is right now in the courts. We have voters, not politicians, which is the redistricting.
And they're already in?
They're already in, but the signatures haven't been verified by the Board of Elections. So
I got you.
That's still going through. That's been a very laborious process, I got to say. That's taken a lot longer than
I thought.
But
wait a second. I thought the prevailing wage was, going through a different path.
Well, this goes through the same path. It's voter-initiated legislation. It goes through the same path that this one does, the minimum wage one does. However, the legislature is very interested in passing a repeal of prevailing wage. So what's likely to happen is that the legislature will take a vote on repealing prevailing wage, whereas I'm not quite sure if they're going to take a vote on raising the minimum wage. You know, this is not the first time that we've had a ballot initiative that has succeeded in getting the signatures needed to increase the minimum wage in Michigan. But what has happened in the past is that the Restaurant Association and the other business groups have gotten together and have cut a deal with the organizers of the petition and said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do X, Y, and Z? Why don't we, raise the minimum wage to $9.25, which it is now, and then index it to the rate of inflation and just drop this so it doesn't go on the ballot? And they've agreed. And we just saw that on Friday too, Steve, with the renewable energy portfolio agreement with DTE Consumers and that Tom Steyer group. They came together and came to an agreement, so that question won't be on the ballot. This time, Steve, I think this is a little different. I don't know if the Restaurant Association and the Michigan Chamber and the other groups are going to want a deal on this prevailing wage or on this minimum wage question, because they did it not too long ago. I think it was 3 years ago. And this one is different because it raises tipped wages to the minimum wage, which is a significant change and will really impact the dining experience for everyone in Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, because consider this, Steve, because now your servers will be paid minimum wage. And so now it's not necessary. You know, under this, theoretically, it wouldn't be necessary to tip them because they're not getting paid $3 an hour. So they would have to get paid $12 an hour. And there are servers
right,
and bartenders
to a lot of
who are
restaurants
coming together and saying, hey, wait a minute now.
Right.
We're doing great with our tips. We're doing just fine. We don't want to go to minimum wage because that would be a pay cut for us. So this is not a unanimous proposal from the servers. I mean, particularly
I
bartenders.
So we've got marijuana, the redistricting thing, voters, not politicians. There's a big battle there looming, isn't there? I mean, because I'm looking at all these and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know who's going to weigh in on the minimum wage, but on redistricting, that's going to be a fight because they claim to be, you know, just ordinary citizens, but it's pretty odd that, you know, every one of these redistricting initiatives led by those that are certainly far left, those on the left support these because they think it'll help them more than those on the right. Take Pennsylvania, for example. So, I mean, there's going to be some contentious fights on the ballot initiatives. Whether it's on this one or not, I'm not sure. But there are some, there's going to be some money dumped into the state, isn't there?
Oh, there is. And there is a theme that is clearly developed on all of these petitions, and that is it's being driven by a progressive viewpoint, whether it's minimum wage or voters not politicians, the energy one that's now been derailed. There's a voter one that's coming. There's also one on
a voter one. What's coming?
This is one from the League of Women Voters and the ACLU. It's a variety of changes at the ballot box that Democrats have been wanting for years, like no-reason absentee voting and same-day registration, stuff like that. It's the kind of common-sense stuff that honestly should be kind of a no-brainer, but I think Republicans have held out on voting for it just to give Democrats something to fight and scream about, to be honest. But they're,
does it come with voter ID?
Signatures together for that too.
Does it come with voter ID? This common sense idea.
Shoot, I'm not familiar. If
I have
that's
no,
on
I'm
or
just,
not.
I was being wiseacre. I was just being smart, Kyle. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I'm sorry. I'm gullible. I'm a Pisces.
No. I'm just saying. You know, it's common sense. You can register the day you vote. This, that. Okay, maybe. But we also know that in states like New Hampshire, when that happened in the last election, 7,000 people voted the same day that they registered. They're required by law within 90 days to get a driver's license in New Hampshire. That didn't happen. Less than 1,000 actually did it out of the 7,000 cast same-day registration votes. And it's interesting that Hillary Clinton won by 1,400 votes in that state. Mm. I'm not real strong at math, but I can say something smells there.
Mm.
You know, okay. Things to consider, you know.
All right.
Things to consider. When you see it come down, though, we're not going to be able to go anywhere near a television without seeing commercial after commercial after commercial, are we?
Oh, probably not. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of money on this. And I think for kind of the conservative groups, this will be easy because they can bunch all these proposals together and do a Just Say No campaign. I mean, because all of them, whether it's redistricting or paid sick time or minimum wage or what have you, they're all going to be something that the progressive community will want to say yes to. And so a Just Say No campaign to all of them is probably going to be the most likely upshot of all these, whether we're going to have, you know, we could have up to six, I think. Now, the energy one isn't going to go on. So I think we could have about six ballot proposals that we're looking at come November.
Yeah. Don't go near a TV. You can't get one near one safely, that's for sure. All right, Kyle, I greatly appreciate it. As always, we'll continue to talk to you and break these initiatives down and see how they're progressing. Thank you so much, as always.
Hey, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
There you have it. Kyle Willen, editor and vice president of the MERS newsletter. When we come back, the CDC's Healthy Swimming Program. Yeah. The Healthy Swimming Program shares data trends on U.S. recreational water illness breakouts and outbreaks. You need to make sure that when you're swimming in the right places. If the beach is closed because it's contaminated, don't go there. We're going to swim upstream of that one right after the break.